I can see you, but for some reason, when I have my glasses on, I can't see anything.
Okay, says we're live. Let's see. Oh. And we are. All right. Hello, hello, everybody. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the broadcast. My name is Portia Wilkins here in Houston, Texas, and I've had the honor and the pleasure of having Dr. Eve Abraham with me here. And man, I'm telling you, God is so good. Just in how he connected us in the first place, Dr. Eve. I mean, I'm grateful that you agreed to do this and to come and to share. It's been a couple of years since we've seen each other. Was at 2018 you had that event. I think it was 20, and I don't even know how I found out about the event. I think it was somebody posted something on Facebook. It was so random. And I reached out to my sister, Apostle Andrea Haynes.
Yeah.
And I was like, you got to come to this event with me. You're going to love it. I just knew it was going to be awesome. And I'll never forget you prophesying to me and just sharing so much that I still have the video. Wow. And I watch it frequently. And I have watched it many times over the years because you prophesied to me in regards to conception, but also in business as well. And just really, it shed a light for me on just some areas that I wanted and needed to work on and make sure that I do my part to make sure that it comes to pass like I needed it, like God wanted it to, you know, just participating in my process. You know, I believe a lot of times people hear a word or want something from God, but don't really do the work part.
Yeah.
In its entirety. You know, you hear a lot, you waiting on God, waiting on God. But I wholeheartedly believe that a lot of it isn't us waiting on him, but him waiting on us to recognize what he's already done and is doing. If we just continue to work, he's going to keep revealing.
That's right.
You know, so anyway, so yeah, if y'all don't know Dr. Eve Abraham, she is absolutely incredible. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist. I had the pleasure of hearing from her live, hearing her teach the word of God at her conference a few years ago. And just, you always, Dr. Eve, have just had a spirit of comfort, approachability, and grounding. I've always gotten that from you. And so when I see the work that you're doing with your Kingdom Mental Health Summit, that's such an important thing because there are so many broken people in the kingdom of God, so many believers who are broken, and there's a lot who believe that the word is, and it is enough. However, you also need counsel. You also need a therapist. Like, you need that too. And so I know definitely in the Black community is like, you know, it's like frowned upon to do that. And it's such an unfortunate thing because the value that you add to people is immeasurable in helping them get on the right path. And so there's that. And then also, your conception journey as well, your story inspired me when you shared about the conception journey with your daughter. And so I just believe that today, with the assignment that God has given me for women and couples who desire to conceive, I truly believe that the mental, the scientific also, and just that aspect of it is also important because of knowing how your mind works.
Yeah.
Plays a role in how you respond and process certain things. And so, as you know from your own experience, just the challenges of the conception journey in itself can create a lot of emotions that a lot of women and men and couples experience that they just don't know how to process. They don't know how to deal with it, you know. Yeah. So just come on, share with everyone a little bit about your background, your story in regards that what inspired you to even take this route of pursuing therapy and mental health? Like, what was that thing that God said, it's time for you to be the one to do this for my people?
Yes, so thank you again for inviting me. I really, really appreciate and honor this opportunity. Well, I knew from the age of 8 that I wanted to be some form of doctor relating to the mind. I didn't have the language to say, okay, it's a psychiatrist or psychologist, but I knew from the age of 8. And then, of course, we go through a stage where we have to find our purpose, right? So I went through all of that. And then I knew that I wanted to help people out, really, for real, after I got saved. My heart was, okay, how do I do this save thing? And how do I please you? Because the people around me, yes, they were saved and they were Christian, loving God, but behind closed doors, I didn't see any victory in their soul, in their attitude, in their behavior. And I've always been fascinated by the idea of why we do what we do. So, along with prayer and the Holy Spirit, so led me to go to college. And then once I completed my degree and received my license, God gave me specific instructions on what to do with that license. I believe that wherever we are gifted in or we have education in, that's a kingdom that we need to take charge of. So I've been given that mandate by the grace of God, and I'm doing all that I can to shift the psychology, not only in the church, but also in my own field, right? That the clinicians need Jesus, and then the church needs psychology. So that's what I'm about.
Listen, that's a quote, okay? That's so true. Can you say that one more time? Can you say that last part one more time? Who needs who?
The clinicians need Jesus, and the church needs psychology.
Amen. Amen. And the beauty in blending that and recognizing the value in that, I truly feel that that is what would create a healed person. I really believe that. And when you're missing one or the other, you're left to try to figure it out on your own.
That's right.
And so I think that that's just, man, that's so good. That's so good. Isn't it amazing how God reveals to us what we're called to do? And at a, I mean, at eight, it's like,
Yeah, so your baby probably will have a glimpse, way before 8, right? Because they
Listen,
know.
he probably knows today, okay, already. Well, he this little guy here, he is every he is more than what I pray for, right? Speaking of which, so we have women that are going to be watching, they're watching live and they're going to be watching a replay as well, who are going through challenges with conceiving. I had my own personal journey with that for 5 years. Just fighting through the journey and the process of wanting to conceive myself. And so I actually, for those of you who don't know, I filmed a docu-series about it. It's a supernatural pregnancy docu-series. And so I went through the whole process of just my journey where God took me, because the way he orchestrated it was so divine. So divine that it couldn't have happened any other way but by him. And so that 5-year journey for me, Dr. Eves, tested me in every way. It also tested my marriage. I reached out to you a couple of times for advice on that. It affected my health. It affected just how I felt about myself. And I knew it wasn't healthy, but I didn't know what else to do. I also didn't know what else to do. And so I know one of the main reasons why God had me ask you to come on to share was because of your own journey with conception. And if you don't mind just being transparent in that and sharing with them how you yourself, the mental challenges you had throughout, like you're going to your profession is down this path where, and now you're having this life experience that is challenging in your lane, in your profession. Like, how did you handle that?
Exactly. It was crazy. Okay. I was like, okay, who am I? What's going on here? Because like you said, it comes with a lot of challenges. You know, I remember going to the doctor. I can remember to this day, and I'm sure you know, these are images that you typically don't forget. You know, the Holy Spirit won't let you forget because there's glory in that image, you know. I remember going to the doctors, and I said doctors because the first my primary care doctor said it couldn't be possible. It was, you know, it was a no-no. Then I went to another doctor that says, okay, there's a possibility, so let's see, right? So no real assurance type thing. And then I remember going to a women's conference, you know, and encounter is so important. And we're going to get to what we're talking about now. So I was led to go to a conference in California. Didn't know anybody there or anything. All I knew was I wanted a baby. I wanted a baby. I wanted a child. I wanted, you know, when you read the scriptures, you see how, you know, these women gave birth. And then the scriptures align to giving birth. Like, you have to birth something, right? So, of course, we're not saying that if you're a woman and you haven't given birth to a child, that doesn't make you less than a woman at all. No, that's not what we're saying. But for me, I wanted that experience. And the word of God says he will give us the desires of our hearts. You see, so I take the word very, very seriously. I mean, it's black and white for me. There's no gray area, right? Either he said it or he didn't say it. So I went to that conference, and I'll make this very short. And I was just sitting there, and then, you know, the speaker was speaking, but nothing happened until one particular speaker came up, and then she just started talking about prayer. Well, you know, I was kind of in and out because, you know, I know some things about prayer. You know how you're in a setting, and you're like, you're waiting for something that you don't know already, right? But then rather than kind of like just sitting there, she got off the pulpit and started walking around the room, but she was walking around the room praying and just interceding, you know, just going through. And then at that point, a spirit of prayer fell in the place. All the women started wailing, right? And as they prayed, she passed by me. I didn't know her. I was praying. I didn't pay any attention. Well, you know, afterwards, I knew something happened. Okay? I knew something happened. I didn't know what it was. Okay. So, I don't know if you even know this, but I was able to conceive, and I lost the child because I was pregnant, and then they told me that, like I was in the midst of 6 or 7 weeks, I couldn't carry the baby because I didn't have, I forget the term, either enough something. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably know the terms more than I do. Okay, I didn't have enough something for they couldn't hear any heartbeat. I remember that. They couldn't remember any heartbeat. Okay. Well, you don't know. Well, you do, but the psychology, what goes through your mind. Number one, I was at the age where my mom is pressuring me. Listen, you're working, you're doing well. It's time for you to have a child.
How old were you?
I was, when I first got pregnant, I was 36, 37.
Okay.
So I was way past. And my culture, within my culture, okay?
And your culture is, your background is?
Haiti. I'm from Haiti, okay. Right? Yes. You don't wait that long to have children because they want grandkids, right?
Right.
Okay. And then I was thinking to myself, okay, well, like who's gonna inherit all this hard work that I'm doing? You want a seed, So within that experience, there was all this cultural pressure. There was just pressure all about. And then I'm here thinking, okay, I'm trying to hold on to God, but then at the same time, I'm hearing the doctor's report, right? So some days I will wake up feeling like a giant. I have faith because I read the scriptures. And other days I will just sit on the couch and sort of wonder, well, maybe I'll be among one of those women to just wind up adopting your child and never having my own. So I went through all of that, but what kept me going, Portia, was not psychology at all. What kept me going wasn't psychology, was not my field. I just made a decision that regardless of what happened, I want God more than I wanted a baby.
Ooh, Jesus. Lord have mercy. That gave me goosebumps. Lord, that is so rich. That
And
is so heavy.
when the Holy Spirit just opened my heart to that revelation, because sometimes what we desire, it could be so full in our heart, and it takes the place of God, and we don't even know it. So our passion could become our idol, because I was, because if everything had went well, then I would have been celebrated. Oh, she's married, now she have a baby, and especially in our culture, in my culture, and even in my husband's culture, Nigerian, having a baby is like the blessing. It's
Right.
the marriage. When actuality, no.
A
Okay.
blessing,
A blessing.
not the.
Not the blessing. So I went through all that, but then once the Lord opened my heart to that revelation and I verbalized it, I said, Lord, I want you more than I want a child. Then he gave me a promise in 1 Peter 5. To this day, I never forget it. He says, after I've suffered a while, he will establish me, settle me, and perfect me. And that's exactly what he did. Now, I received that word. It wasn't until a good 3 years or so that word actually came to pass. So like you, I had to hold on to that, regardless of what the doctors were saying.
Right. So throughout that whole, you got that word, and throughout that time was when the doctors were telling you,
No
nope,
way.
not gonna happen. Nope. And that's the part that messes you up mentally. Because now it's a battle, literally between the spirit and the flesh, the natural and the supernatural, because the facts have shown that you can't have a baby, it won't happen, da 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 da. But you have to choose to hold on to the truth.
You have to choose, and the choosing is what helped my mental health. You see, because if you have no hope at all, right? Say, for example, there may be people listening to us now who are not believers, right? There's no faith, right? So if we're talking to a non-believer, how do we encourage or counsel someone who's getting those sort of reports? What do we do with the psyche? What you do with it is the fact that, okay, so have you had anyone who have gone through what you have gone through and actually wind up having a child? So you need a reference point. Whether you're going to use the scripture or you're going to use other myths as a reference. So maybe doing some research, I'm giving some tools now for some people who don't, who not like us, right? Doing some research, gathering some data on it, right? The other thing, when you are constantly thinking and becoming overwhelmed about anything, then that thing that you overwhelm about, your body feels it. So when your body feels it, when we say, okay, the body keeps the score, that kind of thing, we say that in therapy, that means there's a constraint within your physical body. So when you ovulate, or it's time for you to, even after sex, and you know, you're doing it the proper way or however, then because of the constraint of the anxiety in your body, then that has been, that has prevented women from just getting pregnant.
That is so, I'm so glad that you came on and you shared this, especially with your expertise, is because last week I shared a message, can't ovulate or relate. And I didn't even understand ovulation until I started trying to get pregnant. And it wasn't until I was further in my journey of trying that I even took a moment and be like, okay, I thought you can get pregnant like any moment, any day, any time, right? I didn't know that there was like this window of it happening for you. I was like, oh, okay, so you really got to be like on schedule, you know? And so it's almost, and then, you know, I had my surgery after I had the fibroids removed. I had 8 fibroids, grapefruit size, removed in 2014. And doctor put me on birth control so that my uterus could heal. Had I gotten pregnant, she said, during that time, my uterus, quote, would have erupted. And I would have had to have a hysterectomy. So there's this whole window of time where I'm waiting for my uterus to heal and I'm on birth control. I'm able to have sex, but mentally, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because all I can think about is my uterus erupting or exploding, as she said. So I started to pray for God to not let me get pregnant, which was a huge battle for me mentally. Because I want a baby. So I had to go from praying for a baby, asking for a baby, asking for a baby, to now during this time saying, please don't get me pregnant. Please don't let me get pregnant. It was such, like, I was completely messed up. And so then after my uterus healed that year, she took me off birth control. So now it's like I had to get back to praying. Let me have a baby. My mind was just completely. And during my study on ovulation, you learn how stress leads to all of that. It fuels all of that. So not only does life stress you out, infertility stresses you out too.
Yes.
So it's like there's stress like right in the heart, right in the midst of what you're trying to do. And you just, mind just completely, literally just not right.
<That's right. Yes. laughs> Yeah. And even in the midst of it, you'll have to choose to try your best to be single-minded, right? So what you just described was a double-minded.
Like real life.
Yeah.
And thank you for, yes, that's what it was.
Yeah. So this single-mindedness can be very, very difficult. However, it's something that you do it, the more you do it over time, the better you get at it, right? Our mind is the greatest capacity, the greatest treasure that we have. Because if in your mind you believe that there is hope, the only person that can steal hope from you is you. Your body will be conditioned to hope.
Wow.
You see? So those of you who may be listening right now and you know, you've had multiple of miscarriage. I've had one. So not only miscarriage is not only hard, but you, even after the baby is gone, it's like you lost a baby. So you have to go through the grief process, you see? And then, you know, you go through the season. Okay, I didn't name the child. There was no burial. There was no nothing. So it's almost as though the baby came and the baby left. But your body remembered the baby. Yeah. So what we want to do is, those of you who are believers, who knows prayer, God can literally take everything all at once. I got delivered from that whole syndrome I just explained in less than a minute. And it wasn't because I was in the church. It happened right in my house. You see, the burden just lifted because while grieving, you could grieve upon a grief.
Expand on that.
For example, you're grieving over a loved one who have passed away. It could be a baby, since we're talking about a baby, right? So you're going through the grieving stages. There are grieving stages that you're going through. But then the fact that you are actually aware that you're going through the grieving stages, you actually grieve about that, because why do I even have to go through that? What's wrong with me? You know, I've done everything perfect. I mean, the list could go on what the mind tells you. Yeah. So what you say to yourself during this process is so, so important, so, so vital. So we, and I here as a living witness, that God is not only able to do impossible things, but that's what he's best at.
That you're right. So you had your miscarriage, after that was when the doctors were telling you it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. There was no way that it could happen, because prior to me even getting pregnant, I was diagnosed with lupus many, many years ahead. And then when I was diagnosed with lupus, the doctor gave me 6 months to live. And I knew I wanted to have a child. I wasn't even married then, right? So I made an agreement with my rheumatologist. I said, I'm not going to take the medication. You're not going to force me to take the lupus medication, and we'll see how it goes. Okay? I'm not advocating for people to do this. Okay? This is just me. Okay?
That was her walk with Jesus.
Her walk with Jesus. And I'm here to say that since 2004... or 2005, I have not taken any lupus medication, and I'm still here and never been hospitalized for lupus. God is faithful. Okay, so because of the lupus, and then because of everything else they were saying, there was no hope. There was no hope. I couldn't have, it was a dead end. My case was dead end. Then I looked at Romans 4 that says that Abraham believed God, right? And prior to him believing God, he says that God is the one who raises the dead. And I figured, okay, well, my womb is dead, qualifies. And that's how Zoe came about.
Yeah. You use the word and just use that to put pressure.
Yeah. I put pressure on the word.
That's it.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you don't have to do everything right to put pressure on the word.
That's so good that you say that, because there's a lot of people who think who feel that unless you pray a certain way, or do things this way, if you don't do it this way, it's wrong. As if there was only one way to communicate with God. Yeah. Right? Or if you don't say these exact words, then he's not going to hear you. And I tell people all the time, a perfect prayer is just a consistent one.
That's good.
You consistently communicating and talking to him, He hears you. So man, that's so good. So when you did conceive, what was that time like? Were you continually actively trying to get pregnant? What was that time? What did that time look like? And how old were you as well?
Yes, that's important. I was 42.
She was 42, y'all.
Was 42.
42 with
Now,
lupus
yes, with lupus. Yes.
after a miscarriage, after the doctor said it's not gonna happen, God still did it at 42.
At 42. And of
And of
course, they
course, they
said
said
that,
that,
you know, Zoe
Zoe
would
would
have
have had
had the high
high
probability
probability
for
for
IDD,
IDD. What's IDD? Intellectual.
intellectual, my gosh, disability.
Oh, really? Why would she have that?
Well, because
Well, because
at
at
42,
42,
you're
you're
very,
very,
very
very
high
high
risk.
risk. Oh,
And
okay.
having a
Having a
baby.
baby.
So
So,
yeah,
yeah,
there could
there
be a
could be
lot
a
of
lot of complications
complications with that.
Man, God.
It's fine.
Fine.
She's good.
Those stipulations, I really just do not like them. I hate that they tell people those things. Once you hit 30 something, intellectual development disability, somebody looked it up. Thank you, Carol. When they to tell a woman that, it's very deflating and defeating mentally and emotionally. Somebody said, I'm there now. They're telling me there's no way I can get pregnant at my age. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking for this person? It's like they count you out before you even have a chance. So you walk in believing, you get the energy and the confidence up to even want to try. Okay. You show up to this doctor, whoever, and you tell them, this is what I want to do, right? And you're believing and all that. And then they hit you, boom, because of what a statistic says. It's almost like how they judge people on the scale of the BMI, the body mass index chart. So if you're a certain height and a certain weight, then if you're not within this parameter, you're obese. But you're looking at the person and you're like, no, they're not. So it's almost like that's the time where for me the scientific part, I'm like, y'all stop. Like, can you just stop? It's not a one size fit all when it comes to conception.
That's right.
It's just not, because everybody's body's different, but also everybody's faith is different. And I mean, God is just, he's so real and relevant. So much she said, I'm 48, I've been going through this for years. After my grandmother died, I wanted to try again. They want me to use donor eggs. Okay. Well, pray about that. Pray about that for sure. I mean, I don't care what your age is. I honestly, for me, it's I, and this is what I wrote it in my book, you're not infertile, you're just not in timing.
I love that.
Because your conception has to, God is the one who gives life. So the moment we align with his time, that's when the life will come, because he's the one that's going to do it. He's not subject to time. He's the creator of time. So time is subject to him. So while I understand and I respect the professionals, and they're what, what they've studied and what they've read, there's just certain aspects where God just completely obliterates all of that. And says, you know what? I know this. The book says ABC, but I'm gonna do XYZ.
That's
That's
right.
right.
That's
And
right.
to your point earlier of having a reference point, that's where that reference point is important, because now you can point to somebody and say, no, So now you conceived at 45, you say, right?
42.
42. Okay, and this
Two.
woman is 48. Like, you're still in that window of that decade. I know women
Exactly.
in their 50s that have given that are giving birth. I'm sorry.
48, you're still killing baby.
48 is the new 38, sis. It's
Okay.
the new 38.
And you you know, we have to remember at the end of the day that there was a book written about us based on Psalms 139. There's a story already written about you. So in the story is the life more abundant and very specific. We don't get to read the book, right, that has already been written about us. We get to glance at pages upon pages when we pray or when we are in fellowship with the Lord, in fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So God will not place a desire in your heart if he didn't want you to have it. Let's start from there, because sometimes the enemy will cause us to think that what we asking for is far reach. Like, you know, just because other people have it doesn't mean it's for you too. When in actuality, if you have the desire, and then the desire is not one of those fleshly desires, not like you want to be like other women, you know, it shouldn't be that, you know. You know, parenting, as you can see, it's a hard job. It's a responsibility. There's an anointing, a grace you need to parent, you see. So if God has placed that desire in your heart, do not give up, regardless of what anybody say. Even if you are 55, it can still happen.
Yes. If you have your uterus, it can still happen.
Amen. Even if you have a uterus, your testimonies about
who had hysterectomies?
Come on. Oh.
What can't God do?
There you go.
I shared on Instagram. I did an Instagram live last week where I talked about the same scripture, you know, God will give us the desires of our heart. Mm-hmm. And what God told me and what rested on me in that is that the moment you desire it, it's done.
Mm.
He wouldn't have allowed you to desire it if it wasn't already done.
That's right.
Because it's done in the spirit before it gets to the natural, right? So if he put it in your heart, you already have it.
That's right.
What happens now is just a matter of time and what you do with that time. How do you manage that waiting period for God to bring you the promise? And so that's where the mental part comes in, because like you saw with me, I was double-minded so often throughout the journey. And so it's taking those steps to retrain your mind. And so for me, what I did was I started praying and fasting more. And I named my son. We actually named him in 2014. Our daughter named him. And so we talked about him every day like he was here. We just would always say, oh, man, Aiden's going to love this. Or Aiden this, you know. And he literally is doing like all the stuff that we said. It even got to the point, Dr. Eves, and I shared this in my on Facebook. I don't even know if I didn't put this in my docuseries, but I shared it on social media once where I put a picture up of my husband holding Aiden in his lap. And I talked about how before Aiden was conceived, how we would act as if. So we would, if there was a water bottle or a pillow on our couch, my husband would cuddle the pillow or the water bottle and talk to it like it was Aiden. Hey, man. Aww. Hey, man, look at you. You watching the game with daddy. Hey, he would hug and kiss the pillow or the water bottle. He would even hand it to me, sit next to him on the couch. And I would hold it. Hey, baby. And we would just laugh and talk. And then we would sit the water bottle pillow in between us. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, let's go. Let's watch a family movie together.
Mm-hmm.
And in that picture that I took, I captured it because Aiden was in his lap. The water bottle was on the counter next to him. And the pillow was to his right. So it was like, oh my, literally just complete full circle. God showing me that doing the things that feel and may look crazy and awkward, you know, why would I name my son and talk to this thing that I don't even have yet? Or why would I affirm this? Why do I say, because there's a lot of people who have a conflict with speaking things into existence. They don't understand the psychology behind it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, why would I do all that? And I was like, daydreaming can become real life if you picture it first. That's it, right. Can be real life if you are consistent at, I had, that was the only way for me to escape where I was. Envisioning, affirming, and thinking about where I wanted to be. It hurt too much to accept where I was and just sit in where I was. I had to escape it.
Wow.
So, and the only way for me to escape where I was, my present moment in life, I had to pretend and act like a kid again, play make believe.
Yeah.
And that phrase has so much power. Make believe.
Make believe.
Yeah. Make believe. By doing this, it will make you believe that it will happen for you.
That's right. That's right. And that same Romans 4, it also says...
It's the whole chapter?
I can't remember the verse, but I know it's Romans 4. I mean, because my Bible is all... That's how much I eat. I eat that
so you tell, oh, Abraham justified by faith. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father... has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. I don't know. Is that the one?
That is, it's Romans 4, but I want to get to the part where it says that God is the God who raised the dead. And then after it says God is the God.
It says okay, here it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's verse 17. Mm-hmm. So let's start at 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who that contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. So that's the part you're talking about.
That's where, the part when you mentioned make believe.
Yes.
What you are actually doing is behaving the way Adam behaved before the fall.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
You understand? You are actually being God. Mm. Because God thinks and he make believe. That's what that scripture just said.
Yes.
It says that he spoke those things that be not as though they are. That's how we dominion people supposed to live life, not wait for a baby, for everything.
That's so true. That's Romans 4. I'm putting it in the comments so they can go
16,
back.
16, 17. Yeah.
17. Yeah. 3:16, 3:17, y'all. Matter of fact, just read the whole chapter. Because there's so much revelation in it, right? But I just put the scripture on there for them to go back and and see. Yeah, that is, man, going through the journey of infertility, because I know I have friends and associates who went through IVF and IUI and it goes back to what you were saying in the beginning about wanting something more than you wanted God.
Yeah.
When you want it so bad that it blinds you, you go down a path that you weren't meant to go down.
Right.
But even in that, God will make it right. He'll redirect you. For example, with me, I knew God didn't want me to do IVF. He always told me he was going to do it naturally. But because I was eager, because I was impatient, because I saw others, I was like, let me do it. And then I also wanted to make sure that I just wasn't being stubborn in my faith. Meaning being stubborn and having stubborn faith and being stubborn in faith, for me is two different things. Stubborn faith is I'm not going to waver on the promise that God has given me. I'm going to do it. The devil, you can't stop me. Being stubborn in faith for me meant being so not being open to hearing more. And because of that, I inadvertently silenced or minimized the voice of God in that process too. I believe he was speaking to me then, but I couldn't hear because I was being so stubborn in my faith. He had already told me he was going to do it naturally, but I still chose to consider IVF.
Right.
I went to the IVF doctor and they have to go through the service to check the uterus for implantation and, you know, and all of that, the whole deal that they have to do. And he couldn't even get through my cervix.
Wow.
And what should have took a 30 seconds for him to do, after 5 minutes, and he's frowning, and I'm like, I don't like you looking like that. Why are you in my personal business? First of all, I've always had a female gynecologist anyway, so I'm already uncomfortable because of this man. But now I see you frowning now. You're getting frustrated. And I can feel your frustration because you're pushing a little harder than what you probably should be pushing to try to get through my cervix and trying to force the utensil through, which was thinner than a stick pin and rubber. So it couldn't, should have just went right on in, but he couldn't. And he told me afterwards, he said, every time, he said, your uterus was still shut, still shut. And he did this with his hand. Okay. He said, it was still shut like this. And every time I try to put the utensil in, he said, something pushes me back. He said, I'm getting rejection. He said, every time I try to push, it's like something's pushing it back out. And when I got home that night, and I prayed and I asked the Holy Spirit, what was it? He said, I closed your cervical wall to close that door.
Wow.
And he literally showed me a picture of the hand of God at my cervix. It was God's hand that was pushing the utensil out. And he said, I'm going to do it. In a tone like when you tell your child, like, I didn't already told you. We're going to stop and get ice cream. Like, stop asking. Right? So it was like that for me. But that was God loving me through my stubbornness, I feel. Because he had already told me he was going to do it. But me and let's go. My friend had IVF, so let me go see if I can do IVF. And then I get there and it doesn't work. And instead of punishing me or making me feel bad about the situation, he loved me through it by confirm using it as an opportunity to confirm. And it intensified my trust. It activated my faith. And it made me believe even more that he was going to do it how he promised to do it. That's why if y'all haven't seen my docuseries, y'all got to go watch it. You got to go watch it. Because I go in greater detail about that. Like, there were so many small moving parts, you know. So talk about that too. Because a lot of times, there's the song Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. At the end of the song, it says, even when I feel you, I know that you're there. Even when I don't see it, I know that you're there. So it's like we are working, we are moving, we're going through that process, and we feel like we're alone. Yeah. But God is always there. And a lot of times we don't see his hand until after the fact.
That's right.
What were those God hand moments for you? That you recognize after the fact where you're like, oh, that was him.
Yes. Well, it started from the first baby, I lost. Mm-hmm. Right after, the doctors wanted me to come back. You know, my stomach had already started growing, of course. And they wanted to, you know, like get me cleaned up so that, you know, everything would be cleared up. And I didn't have to go back to the doctor because I just went to the restroom and it came out by itself. Okay, so that was God.
Whoa.
Yes, that was God. And then afterwards, I shared with you about how supernaturally I didn't have to go through, the grief. Instantly, in 1 minute, God delivered me. It was an encounter that I had with God. So God was visible. His presence was there. And then just going through the process of me having Zoe now, right? Having to go to the doctors, and then they're telling me, okay, based on their result, test result, this is what's gonna happen with Zoe. You know, my daughter's name is Zoe, and all these things, you know. And God said to me, stay focused. Now, you hear other people tell you to stay focused. Like, you know, everybody, you know, your friends can say, stay
Stay
focused. But
focused.
when God says it, it has a whole different meaning, you know? Stay focused, stay focused. Well, every time I would go to my for my checkup, there was always something. There was always something. It's almost the enemy wanted to implant fear in my heart. Like, you already lost one, you see? So maybe that's exactly what's going to happen to this one. Not only that, I started having dreams, right? About me not going through with the pregnancy because
Having
of,
an you're not going through like having an abortion
no,
or
me not going
having
through
a miscarriage.
in terms like the baby's gonna die, you know, before I can give birth, you know, based on what the doctors were saying, you know. And so the enemy wanted to implant fear because if I had fear, maybe I wouldn't have Zoe. You understand? So I went through all of that. God's hands were still there, you know. On the day, the very day, I just went to the hospital for a regular checkup. Zoe was not due yet to come.
How far along were you?
I was already 8 months.
Okay.
Eight something days, right? Okay, so Zoe was not due yet. So I just went, I was fine, feeling fine, you know, just go on my checkup and then go back to the office. That was the plan. Well, when I got there again, they couldn't, they told me that Zoe was having trouble breathing. You see? So it was another thing that I had to deal with. So then they told me, okay, you can't go home because we're gonna have to give birth right now. I'm like, okay, I don't have no bag, there's no preparation. I mean, I just came for a visit. Well, God hand, I remember laying on that the you know, the chair thing, whatever it's called, they lay you on. I said, God, you that breathe life into man. So whatever oxygen she need until she come out, that oxygen have already been reserved. So Father, I will not get anxious for nothing. I won't get anxious for nothing. I said, if this baby wind up not being born, then that means you have a greater glory for my life. This, you see how I changed it? In therapy, we call it reframing. You take the bad news and you reframe it. You give it a different narrative. I didn't say, okay, so we wind up not being alive, that I was not gonna serve God anymore. I didn't, because the enemy was watching your words, you see? Because your words stabilize your anchor. What you say matters, especially when you're trusting God for something. So I refuse to allow the enemy to think that giving this baby, he had any soul in it, nor would he nor would he was going to use it as a magnitude to challenge whether or not God loves me. God loved me whether I had a baby or not. And because of his love, I know that he loved me too much to be disappointed. So at the end, I was not going to be disappointed whether Zoe lived or died. See, I reconfigure my mind to that. Okay? And some of us listening to us, that's what you have to do. Because, listen, getting pregnant is not just getting pregnant. Getting pregnant is about legacy. Getting pregnant is about, you know, that child that's supposed to be an arrow in God's hand. You see, it's not me. God just wanted to use my womb You know to bring forth this arrow. You understand? I don't know his destiny. All I know is that it's going to be a great one. Because the doctor says that I couldn't have a baby and she's here now. Oh my God. She's going to be something, you know, that the enemy will not want to see. You know, and I see the manifesting is so wicked. Mm-hmm. Understand? Why? Because they are children of promise. They have defined the momentum in the realm of the spirit, and they have this tenacity in the spirit and said, I shall live and not die. So not only was I saying, Zoe, you shall live and not die. Zoe herself in my womb was saying, I will live and not die. Come on, more than you having a baby. Your baby have faith to come here too.
Glory. Preach, Dr. Eves. Preach to the people, because that is it. That is, that is the coup de grace, the cherry on top that people need to catch, that these women who are struggling with infertility to make believe need to catch. You have to reframe. You have to completely reframe. That's the part where everything you're saying conflicts with what's going on.
Yeah.
Everything you're saying conflicts with what's going on. And I tell the fight, and I shared this in my docuseries, the fight isn't because of us. The fight is because of who we're giving birth to. Because you teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. And we're reproducing a greater versions of ourselves. The devil is mad.
That's
He's upset. So he wants you to not believe. He wants you to have doubt. He wants you to believe the negative doctor's report. He don't want you to read the word. He don't want you to believe the word. He don't want you to get the help you need from the professional help psychologically. He don't want you to do all of that.
Right.
Because that activates your faith.
That's right.
Because now you got the baby ready. Because it was prophesied to me, your baby's ready in heaven. And so what I would say every morning when I was praying, I would say, Aiden, listen, I know you're ready in heaven. You sit next to Jesus, so I know you can hear me. And when you get here, this is what life is going to be like. So you keep doing your part up there. Mommy's going to keep doing her work down here until you're in my hands. And together we're going to make this thing happen. That's what I would say to him. So everything that you just said, doctor, is uh-oh, did we lose her? Her screen froze. So Dr. Eves, if you're talking, I can't hear you. Your screen froze. Oh, we got to get this back going. We got to get this back going. Devil is a lie. Or maybe it's mine. Because the show... Hold on. There's a delay. Okay, she'll get back on. She'll get back on. Oh my goodness. Because this is so good. Y'all got to get this. So yes... that's why Aiden's name, his middle name is Nkwachi, N-K-W-A-C-H-I, which means God's promise. There she is. Listen, the devil got mad that I called him out. He got mad. That's all. That's it. Because we're giving people the secret.
We're giving them the
secret to make this thing happen. We're giving it to them. So again, like I said, we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are, and we're giving birth to greater versions of ourselves that the devil is upset. These are the true catalysts for change. And there's so many different like little videos and things on social media, like reels and things like that on Instagram that talk about these pandemic babies being built different.
Yes.
Like that is so true. I believe that when there's a spiritual war for the child to be conceived, it's their own little bubble of like a pandemic that they are fighting and getting through to get here. And you said so much when you said your baby is fighting to get here just as much as you are.
That's right.
Because the Bible said, and the reason why we know our baby is ready, let me take it to the word. God says to Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you.
That's right.
And I set you apart. How can you know someone if they don't exist?
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Mm-hmm. You existed before you was in your mother's womb.
That's right.
So there was a journey, there was a process that these babies had to go through before they even got to us.
That's true.
To prepare us for what was already happening, to prepare them for what was already happening in us. So the reason why Zoe was able to fight and to be beautiful and perfect and healthy and in her right mind and her whole capacity was because God already formed her.
Yeah.
Prior to him putting her in your womb because of what you were carrying, he had to make sure she was equipped.
Right. That's right.
So there's so much make believe in that. There's so much to make you believe in that you're not fighting this battle by yourself.
No, you're not.
Your baby is fighting too.
That's right.
Because
that's
your baby has God fighting with it. Like, there's so much going
in. Yeah, it's bigger than what we can even articulate, right?
Yes.
It's bigger and it's larger. And then, you know, the other thing is you have to understand that God has a plan and the enemy have a plan too. You see? John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay. So he comes to kill your vision, your desire. He comes to destroy whatever it is that you already have going for you. Right? He comes to destroy. So some women, because I, you know, in my counseling, you know, I've been counseling, you know, so we have to also address the aspect of spiritual warfare. That's what you were basically sharing.
Yes.
Spiritual warfare in order for you to bring forth this child, this baby. So the enemy will have people speaking against you, you know, all these kind of things, jealous. Yes. You will probably have dreams, have encounters at night. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yep.
As a child, you know, you get so happy when you see a baby. I mean, I do. Even I love babies. You get so happy when you see a baby. You see who's dependent upon an adult, you know, to do everything. The enemy is after the seed. So he will do whatever necessary, right, to take that seed. And you have to stand your ground, apply the blood, and know your rights.
Ooh, that's so good. Because while we are citizens of our country, our home country is heaven.
That's right.
And as citizens of heaven, there are certain rights, there's power, and there's authority that we have.
That's right.
That unless you understand the laws that govern your country, aka the word of God, you don't know the power that you truly have. You don't realize how you can truly speak a thing.
That's right.
And it be so.
That's right.
If you're not, one, reading your word, if you're not around other believers too.
Yes.
Because your environment is so important. Who you're talking to and who's talking to you. What do they have you believing, seeing, speaking, and thinking throughout this process? If everybody that's around you is saying you're not going to get pregnant, you're too old, you're too this, you're not healthy, blah, 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 blah. Those words are seeds. It's going to reap a harvest of doubt, fear, anxiety, confusion, frustration, and all of those things increase stress, which gets in the way of fertility.
Yes. Please run away from stress.
Like, stress makes you infertile.
Yes.
So if they or it is stressing you out, cut it off.
Yeah.
Disconnect.
Yeah.
Run away. It doesn't have to be permanent, but it does need to be seasonal.
Yes.
While you're going through that process so you can get your promise.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm excited about your Kingdom Mental Health Summit.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very excited about it. Is that what I went to when I met you?
No, you went to a prayer conference.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something, child. Listen, well, you got my mind together when I was there. So apparently it was some mental health stuff going on. But this message today, I know, is going to Carrie is going to have led. So those of you who are watching, please share. Share with a couple, share with a woman who is going through this journey and this process together so she knows she is not alone. Little did I know when I was going through my journey how God was just going to use all of that, obviously, for his glory and like what he's called me to do now. You know, I shared in a video, they always say it takes a village to raise a child, but it takes a village to create one. Hallelujah. The village starts now while you're trying, and we are a part of that village, the village of people who are encouraging you, who are inspiring you, who are pushing you, who are equipping, who are literally praying for you. You know, I got a message from a friend yesterday who was at the hospital, and they were telling her that they were going to have to take her babies at 15 weeks. And I was like, no, the devil is a lie. Like, that's not happening. And so, you know, people ask you to pray and you tell them you're going to pray. I don't take that lightly. I immediately came into my office, which is also my prayer room, and went to war for her. And she's better today.
Hallelujah.
There's a lot, and I understand that feeling of when you're in it. Yes, I have word. Yes, I have faith, and I got fire. I got all those things.
Yeah.
But when I'm getting hit directly,
mm-hmm.
when it's heavy on my heart, when those bullets are hitting my heart and my back and loading me up, I don't always have the strength myself to fight, to pray, to do all that I know I should be doing to get to the other side. And so being connected to other women
mm-hmm.
who have the capacity and willingness and the heart to do it is powerful. And so God gave me my own village throughout the journey of women who have been there and prayed for me, and women who I knew at a drop of a dime, no matter what they were doing, if I say, please pray, mm-hmm. they would pray. And so that's what we have here. That's what we have here. And so surround yourself with people who think, feel, and believe for greater, just like you. And so if you are in the Houston area, even if you're not, if you're in driving or flying distance, make sure you come to the Kingdom Mental Health Summit. Give them virtual. A little.
It's be virtual. So they don't
it's
even
be have virtual as well. Okay, great. Listen.
Be virtual. I don't be face-to-face at all.
Oh, so the whole thing is virtual?
The whole thing is virtual.
Oh, easy. That's super easy then. Yes. Log in and go. So, okay. When is it? What's the date and all that kind of stuff?
It's October 16th. We are starting at 9 a.m. Standard time, Texas time. And then it's going to be live on Facebook under my page, Eve Abraham. And then it'll be live on our YouTube channel under Eve Christian University.
Okay.
October
16th. I'm trying to see if I can really quick get some marketing up for them to see the flyer. And you're going to have workshops?
All day workshops. We have Christian psychiatrists. That's going to be on Dr. Benzio. Then we have Dr. Brooks, who's a clinical psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Jenny Renville, who's a therapist. And then Jerry Beasley. I don't know if you know, she's located here in Houston, a radio personality.
Okay.
And the list goes on. We have a marriage counselor that's going to be on from Atlanta, Dr. Sandra Bolaw. So there's something for everyone, right? We need to have balance. It's time for balance so that we can be used of God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to pull it up so they can see the website, but it's not working for me. Okay.
That's okay.
That's the website. Scrolling down at the bottom. Okay.
Yep.
So go to that website. You'll see all the details and the information and everything for that. And then also, for those of you who are in the Houston area, I'm doing a live event on this Saturday called Conversations on Conception.
Ooh.
Conversations on conceiving your promises from God. Small group sessions of women where we come in and we literally peel back those layers. God has given me a whole outline for this, and it's going to be very substantive. And just whatever it is that's keeping you from getting to that next level. We'll be able to identify it, and you'll walk away more than likely with a plan. At minimum, you're going to have more clarity. You're going to have great connections, other kingdom-minded women as well. Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing that every Saturday throughout the month of October. So it's called Convo Concepts. So Conversations on Conception. Just taking our authority in getting the promises, those desires that are in our heart, and making them come to pass, whether it's a child, whether it's a book, whether it's a business, whatever it is, that's what we're doing. Okay. And so, also on both Dr. Eve's, website, the Kingdom Mental Health, website, as well as my website, make sure that you subscribe, because we just had blackout on social media. And you never know when the next blackout is going to happen. Okay. So register, join the mailing list. Okay. On straighttalkwomentalk.com as well as kingdomhealthsummit.com. Join the mailing list on both of our websites so that you can stay connected to us both. And you do not miss what God is doing in this season with both of us. Dr. Eve's is phenomenal, as you all have experienced a sample of what God has his hand on this woman doing. And so I just pray that God continues to prosper you, to give you clarity of vision, to bring you an overflow of people who not only believe in your vision, but will run with it just as hard and fast as you. People who come to you open and willing to receive the teaching that you give and apply it, you will have an overflow, a flooding of testimonials of people who have received lessons from you and words from you that have applied it to their lives and now are reaping the benefits and the harvest of that. People that you have spoken to and taught years ago that you thought forgot about you or that you've even forgot about are going to start popping up and coming up and saying that one day, that one time in 2000 and something, you know, you said this and it really just changed it redirected everything in my life. And it's going to catapult a new platform and a new lane for you of empowerment and being a key voice in the kingdom for mental health in infertility, as well as in child development, as well. There's a lot that God is going to do with you in that realm too, as Zoe is your inspiration from what God said, what the man said would happen to her, but what God showed you the opposite of that, some preventative things that you will be able to advise people on to help them get through that process. And even from a faith and belief perspective of once the child is born, if they do have those disabilities, the miracles and the deliverance and the healing that they will receive as a result of being connected to you and you praying for them, that the children will receive as well. So those diagnoses will be dismissed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. I hope this is being recorded, so I'll go back.
It is. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord. We honor you. You are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. There is none like you.
Thank you.
Father, I bless the work of Dr. Eve Abraham, and I bless the words that she speaks. I pray, Father, that you continue to anoint her to carry out her mantle with power, authority, and congruency within you, Lord God. She is out here doing what you've called her to do and has such a grace about her that we know has come from you. We pray right now for every woman, couple, family who is struggling with infertility, because we know it's not just the woman who has the struggle, it's the husband and the other children in the household as well. Everybody's impacted by infertility. And so we just pray right now for the clarity of mind, the peace in their hearts, Lord God, for the village, for that family to come together to support them in the way that you know that they need, Father. I pray, Lord God, right now against the spirit of depression, the spirit of suicide, the spirit of defeat as well that can rest upon these women many times as they go throughout the journey and the process. I decree and declare healthy babies are being born, stress-free, pain-free pregnancies in the name of Jesus. I declare miracles and healing for all of them in the name of Jesus. Father, if you could remove my fibroids miraculously, open up my cervix, if you can unblock my fallopian tube, Lord God, and remove the lump from my breast, if you can impregnate, get Dr. Eve's a baby with lupus and everything else, and all these years she hadn't had to take any medicine for it and no symptoms, she was given 4 years to live and she's still here conceiving in her mid-40s. God, listen, you could do it all. So whatever it is that these daughters that are watching and listening are experiencing right now, Lord God, we know that you have the power, the authority, and the ability to give them the miracle, the sign, and the wonders that will give them the energy they need to push and try again one more day, Father. We thank you in advance for all the testimonies and the healing to come. May all of you conceive this month. Every single one of you conceive. Yes. May it be a supernatural prophetic baby boom happening right now, this month, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. I thank you.
And can I just add something, Lord? You're praying, I just said something.
Yes.
You know, Father, we just pray for those who have had an abortion and who feels as though they don't have a second chance. We uproot the lie of the enemy. You are forgiven and you are loved. In the name of Jesus Christ, having an abortion will not stop you from having your own child. Father, we thank you that your love will just flow. Glory be to God and uproot those lies. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say you are forgiven in the name of Jesus and you will give life again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. Thank you for flowing with me today. I love it. Y'all connect with Dr. Eve. She's tagged in this. Register for the Kingdom Mental Health Summit. Share this message with a woman that you love and that you care for, and stay connected. Love you all so much. Dr. Eve, I will see and talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh my.